We're definitely not recording inside a moving van.
Jason actually did one time when Jason was at Indiana at his daughter's gymnastics tournament, and he was recording in a van in a hailstorm.
God. Ooh. Come on, people.
My daughter was into doing like competitive gymnastics. So I've been,
are we in the show now? Are we doing it?
Yeah. Serber, are we recording? Starting? Randy, this is Michael Serber. He's our producer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, nice to meet you. We're good.
Are we going to
start? I'm going to guess Michael Serber is rarely called Michael. He's just Serber.
He's a Serber. Yeah.
He's a Serber.
Yep.
Well, and on Serber's show, there are two Michaels, neither of whom go by Michael.
Wow. Yeah. So if he zings you with something, does he get to say you got served?
You got served.
Oh, we haven't done that. That's a Serber. I'm sorry. That's a thing now.
It's been a thing for a long time. I jumped all over that.
We've been calling him Serber, like the South 100%. Carolina mascot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast.
Fast.
It was. But we got things to get to. We got guests to get to. We got things to do. We don't want to waste time. We want to tell everybody who our guests are.
Who are you?
Who are me? I'm Spencer Hall. And joining me, as always, is Holly Anderson.
Not as always. I'm a guest on this program.
Oh, I'm sorry. A guest. A perennial week-to-week guest. We're all week to week, really, if you think about it. Our special guests this week, special charity bowl week, invitees, guests.
Michigan won. Recording this 3 days before the end of the charity bowl, but Michigan won.
Michigan won.
We're already telling you.
Michigan has a lead.
Michigan is $40,000 ahead.
I mean, in case Michigan is the Milton Berle of the charity bowl, they will only pull out enough to win the bet, and then if necessary we'll pull out the full member just to terrify you. That's what they do.
Show you.
That's what they've done by Wednesday. Joining us,
this makes us Statler and Waldorf, which I like.
That's true. We haven't gotten up from these chairs ever bolted here. We have Jason and Randy Sklar, the Sklar brothers, who if you're not familiar with their work, frankly you've been dead. Okay.
Or you're very young, which makes me sad.
Wait, you don't do that to them.
No, they're young people who know.
No, we're familiar. We're familiar.
You know, they're starting to play Grey's Anatomy again and on Netflix, and a new generation's getting into it. So we're getting a lot of that.
A lot of kids who are like, oh, I know you guys.
Did you guys know that doctors fuck?
Yeah. Wait, it was a brilliant Hollywood innovation to be like, what if doctors?
Hot doctors.
But hot doctors just love to get down in between diagnoses.
Can we tell our Grey's Anatomy story?
Please
do.
Being on the set.
Yeah, yeah.
So we
do you have a Shonda story? Because I have friends who've worked for her.
No, but
we have a great story about our dad, who sadly is no longer with us. He had the best comment ever, and we only understood that it was the best comment ever like much later.
Years after
you guys were conjoined twins on the show.
So we conjoined twins
on the show who wanted to be separated because we were both in love with the same woman, and we wanted to find out who she loved more.
Yeah,
Grey's Anatomy thing.
I love you, Grey's.
Right, and so. And so they, I mean, it was like, okay, this was the time when Grey's Anatomy was watched by 25 million people, and they couldn't give you the actual script because they were fearful that people who auditioned and didn't get the part would then reveal the script out to the public. And the week before we went on there, Isaiah Washington made those homophobic remarks.
Oh God, that's right.
So that was like tense when we walk on there. And the director is this really cool dude who had just directed that episode of The Wire in the school season where the kid's throat gets slashed. I mean, it was, he had just directed like high art, unbelievable, one of the best shows ever. And he's directing this show. And Randy and I are in this stupid, like conjoined twins, you know, prosthetic.
Was that latex? Okay. Yeah, I have questions.
Yeah,
I have costuming questions.
We'll tell you that.
I don't want to interrupt the flow.
No, we'll get to those. So we had to have a prosthetic made, and Randy, they've just picked me for some reason to have this prosthetic made, which means.
So we go to this house, this place that is doing this prosthetic, and it's, you know, top of the line prosthesis in LA and in Hollywood. These guys are the best of the best.
It's like big time.
Not Tony Baker, Jim Baker.
Jim and Tammy Faye Baker? No, I can't remember. It was whoever Baker.
Wait, was it Rick? Was it Rick Baker?
Rick Baker.
Thank you.
Was it actually Rick Baker?
It was his studio.
Like his thing?
Damn. Yeah. No. That's like American Werewolf in London. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rick Baker. I don't know why.
Tony Baker's a friend of ours who's a comic, but whatever. Tammy Baker
prosthetics would be a different kind of amazing story. Dude,
do you know how she puts those eyelashes on? Okay. So we go in there and this was 2006. We're from St. Louis. The Cardinals were in the World Series and we're watching the World Series game while they're building this prosthetic. We forced them to turn on the TV and put it on. And it was like 2006. This was the game that we won, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jay?
That was the series we won. Yep. Yeah.
But that was like the game that won it all. I don't know why we're doing it at this point, but Jay had to get in this. What was it? They poured the thing in.
They had to rub all this like stuff.
Adhesive stuff.
And what they didn't tell you until after it was on my body is they're like, oh yeah, this is going to rip all the hair off your body. But just in the areas where we have this. So basically it looks like I dipped into like a bowl of acid, like up to just below my nipples. So I'm hair up top, no hair on my stomach and like anywhere else. It was so uncomfortable. I was frozen in this thing.
He was literally crying tears of pain while the Cardinals were winning.
Yeah.
And they said, I guess we don't need to do it for you. I was sitting
right next to you. Basically the same size. We got it. And I'm like,
Yeah, he was so mad.
So, but here's the thing.
This twin has been sheep dipped.
The Cards had not concluded the game. They had not won while you were still in the suit, right?
No,
right.
They had not. They had not won.
Did you have the thought, if I get out of this, I might break it. I might.
Oh my God. You know, I mean, we are too well. You know, it's too well. When we were at Michigan during the Fab Five, like our friend of ours in the first game of the tournament, when we were down by 17 to UCLA and then came all the way back and Jimmy King makes the final layup and they win.
That's how old we are, Fab.
That's all we are. But our friend of ours was cooking chicken at halftime and he forgot about it and it burnt
grilling it
burnt
into a black charred like piece of coal.
So it became our burnt offering and every game we forced him to go and buy chicken and cook it on the grill and it became our burnt offering to the basketball God. So yes, we believe that if we did. So then it's like, well, in 2011, we needed Jason to get into a prosthetic chest suit in order for us to win that game. And then he didn't do it.
To hit the, yeah.
I know. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Anyway, it was crazy. So we get in the suit and Jay and I have to be like touching each other, which we don't really love to do. And they're like, just pretend like this is really uncomfortable for you. We're like, yeah, we're already uncomfortable. We're already
there. Acting.
So we go do the episode and it's watched by so many people. And our dad calls us after seeing it. And he's like, you guys should call Shonda Rhimes. We're like, okay. Yeah. Why wouldn't we just give her a ring, call her and tell her you want to go back on the show next week to have them sew you back up together. We're like, dad, that is ridiculous. And then we thought, that is the most Shonda Rhimes
Anatomy ever. Like, we probably still should call Grey's Anatomy. And
yeah, let's call Shonda Rhimes right now.
They brought back Patrick Dempsey this season. They can, yeah, this could happen.
Yeah.
He's McDreamy. We're McJewy. We can do this.
I mean, they did the deer, right? They did the deer and the paddles. The deer and the cardiac paddles. I
forgot
paddles.
About the deer.
The deer and the cardiac paddles is like a top five television moment of all time for me.
Getting us sewn up together could
be another top five moment.
We gotta get back on that thing.
Yeah. What if it was two people who were not related? What if one of you wore a disguise and you guys were two people who were not related who wanted to be twins? Who wanted to be conjoined?
Want to be conjoined for life?
Here we go. We're getting into Ryan Murphy territory there.
Listen, right. Nip Tuck season 4 could have gone in a much different direction.
Right? It's a different series at that point.
Needs to be a spectrum where we've steered out of Shonda Rhimes and directly into Ryan Murphy. And I think that's where you get the twist.
You take the off ramp into guy is murdered with Build-A-Bear stuffing gun.
Yeah.
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 That's Ryan Murphy. That's classic.
Because that was his kink.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he loved. At least he went out doing something he loved.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes, he's so different now.
What if Build-A-Bear was just build a giant gay man? That would be a fantastic thing. Just a different Build-A-Bear. It's a different experience. And it's like, you could honestly, why do they not have a giant Build-A-Bear at the Pride Parade? I don't know.
San Francisco.
Please. We're giving you guys ideas.
I am so glad this happens because one thing we like to do every full cast is come up with a new business model.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Check. Already done.
Check. I feel really bad for the like small gym owners. Like, finally, dude, I got it. It's gonna be like CrossFit for fat guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except we're gonna get, you know, you're gonna get buff and you're gonna get like just enough cardio. Mm-hmm. Big shoulders so that you continue growing bigger than your belly. Right. Yeah. What are you gonna call it? I'm gonna call it Build-A-Bear. And somebody had to break the news, right? Like somebody had to be like,
no.
Gene,
you don't know. You don't know what you just did.
You don't know what you stumbled into.
You have a different client base.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying like guys are really hanging out here very late. I mean, these workouts should only be like 14 minutes, but like people are just hanging out.
we have a thing on the full cast that is our portfolio challenge where we just chose mall stocks.
We picked quarantine stocks.
Yeah. Cause it was around when GameStop was blowing up and you know, we thought, well, that's easy. Anyone can do that. We should pick another mall stock and we should pick a portfolio. Who was whipping?
Tape World.
I'm winning right now because I picked Ulta because I was like, no one has worn makeup in like years and years and years, and it had to be a store that you would find in a mall.
Yeah,
and I had Ulta and like Bath and Body Works because like people need candles, people need hand sanitizer.
Do you guys see the Scottsdale fight at the Bath and Body Works? Because
it's a good one.
Okay, so we talked about this on our podcast. Like, what happened to the time? And this was not that long ago when two people wanted to fight. And they're like, you know, they say something to someone or do something and they're like, let's fight. They're like, okay, meet me outside. Let's take this outside.
Let's take this outside.
So even in the heat of battle, when you're about to throw down with someone, there is respect for the business that you're in. Yeah. I'm going to kick your ass, but let's get out of this Waterford Crystal store first before we mess anything up. Yeah. Not anymore. People are just like, it doesn't matter. When you see like people in aprons who are like giving out samples of like Huckleberry hand sanitizer, throwing elbows and getting in the paint and knocking people over, you know, like we've come to the apocalypse.
What is the worst store in the mall to fight in? Like Things Remembered is up there.
Sonoma. Well, there's way too many shirts.
Oh, that's knives. That's way just knives.
No, that's bloody and ugly quick.
You don't want to get beaten with a mixer. Yeah, Spencer's gift.
Someone could take a stripper pole and turn that into a...
Yeah, turn that into a huge
weapon.
What
about like Brookstone? Like, because it's not a lot of weapons, but everything you break is expensive.
Death by foot massage would not be good.
Yeah, I've got some kind of move where I trap you on the firmest setting in the massage chair and you can't move.
That's it.
Then we're in like a Bond Goldfinger situation.
Go on.
Your legs are trapped.
Yes.
Good luck. But I'm so relaxed.
I'm relaxed until you die.
By trapping me, you've set me free from stress.
I think I'm winning in mall stocks right now, but then our co-host Ryan picked Build-A-Bear.
Yeah,
and thinking Build-A-Bear would go nowhere, and then 2 weeks after he picked it, apparently Build-A-Bear just like doubled in value.
You know what it did? Because Build-A-Bear announced an Animal Crossing line.
Yeah, that was it.
Now he's skunking all of us. Build-A-Bear always terrified me because the first thing you see when you walk in is the bin of empty teddy bear skins.
Yeah,
and you can see their eyes, and I never got past that.
Do y'all have a dead mall, like an undead dead mall near you?
So, I mean, in St. Louis, where we grew up, there's a dead mall. Isn't Chesterfield Mall a dead mall?
It's pretty much a dead mall. Northwest Plaza was a dead mall. Which the center point of Northwest Plaza looks like a building in Jerusalem. It looks like the Shrine of the Book. I'm like, why did you guys go?
They're the dead mall is crazy because the dead mall is where, when we were kids, is where we hung out. We're going to go to the mall and hang out and do what young kids do.
Well, we have a couple of dead malls, and the options are, one, to start a go-kart track in there. That was one idea.
No, I'm taking them all over and turning them into a chain of Christian laser tag arenas.
Yeah.
Dude, why Christian laser tag.
I love that.
Because you have the mega church that buys out an anchor tenant in the mall, and then you just play laser tag and the rest of it.
But Gwinnett Mall, that Gwinnett Place was used as the mall in Stranger Things season 3. Season 3. That's the mall they used, right? Like,
okay.
Part of the weirdness of Atlanta now is realizing that when you're watching something, you go, oh, wow, with a little bit of CGI, they turned Gwinnett Place Mall into...
Not a lot of CGI.
No. Well, not in that case, yeah.
It looks like a found object.
No, I mean, the amount of Demogorgons that hang out at the Gwinnett Mall is pretty high.
Yeah,
I could have told you that in 88. Like, that was there, too.
Thank you.
Same.
That was the exact same. I wanted to ask a question.
Sure.
How did y'all get to Michigan? Like, where does this happen?
So we're St. Louis born and raised, huge, you know, like Midwest guys. We kind of grew up rooting for the Missouri Tigers, like back in the 80s.
Tigers team.
Those great Norm Stewart basketball teams, Lee Coward, Nathan Bunton, Doug Smith when he transferred down from, like, he was up a Detroit player who was unbelievable. Those teams were incredible.
Derek Chivas.
Like, we could, they were number one for a while. We couldn't beat, like, we were up against, like, those Stacey King, Oklahoma teams, and, like, we couldn't.
Danny Manning,
Kansas teams went in the Big Eight. So we kind of grew up with, on all of that. And then we liked Michigan. We always liked, it was a Midwest school. We always liked Michigan, loved Harbaugh in the middle, you know, the middle of the 80s when we were kids there, and Bo was really cool. And then a friend of ours, older sister, used to babysit for us. She went to Michigan and she was such a huge fan, came back talking about how great it was, that our cousin, who's a year ahead of us, she went, and we went with her to visit and saw this woman and kind of like went around campus and just thought, okay, this is an electric place. This is an amazing school. And then we said, okay, as we're thinking about where do we want to go to school, we applied there, Wisconsin and Penn. And got into all three, but went up to Michigan for a weekend and said, this is so much fun. It mixes everything we love. Great academics, really good sports, really dynamic and cool people. We're like, we're home. We can't not go here. And it was just an easy flight from St. Louis, so it made sense.
Yeah.
Were you in that alternate world where you go to Wisconsin? What does that look like?
So had we chosen to go to Wisconsin when we did, we would have looked like we were prophets, because when we arrived, Barry Alvarez kind of started to take over. And by the time it was 94, you know, they beat us. So we were at Wisconsin in 1994. We might have been on mushrooms. I don't know. But I know that we couldn't get. We were either so messed up that we couldn't actually get to the game, but that was the game where a bunch of people got
crushed in the front of the fence. So like, it's crazy. We were there. We had a lot of friends there at Wisconsin. It was so much fun. And now as adults going back and performing, Madison has one of the best comedy clubs in the country, Comedy on State Street. You know, that's a great city. We filmed our Netflix special at the Majestic Theater there. So I love Madison as much as I love Ann Arbor. It's just two wonderful, great places. It would have been a great choice.
For us, it would have been a great choice because sports came along. There's been a lot to root for that school in football and in basketball. I mean, you think about the Kaminsky method when he took them there. And what was that, 2015, 2016? Mm-hmm. And you just think about all the great Wisconsin running backs of all these years. So that would have been very cool. I have much love and respect for Madison.
Would have been fun. We would have partied a lot.
We would not have had as much fun at Penn. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
That always seems to be like when somebody's like, yeah, I went to Penn. The answer is always overwhelming silence. Like,
right.
Like Jameel Swift went to Penn. That's my only Penn person, which I guess answers your question in the affirmative. Yeah.
We had friends there too, and a couple of friends that played sports there, a couple of friends on the football team, and Penn was good in the Ivy League. I guess that would have been fun kind of in an Ivy League sort of way, but we went up there to visit one weekend and were with some friends, and they just seemed so stressed out. Like there was no fun. There was like a weird competitive nature amongst everybody. And they were college kids, but they just looked like they had too much on their plate. We're like, we're not ready for that right now.
And I'm not going to lie, the sports, there just wasn't a sort of cohesive sports fallback that, you know, is part of college. Like when we thought of Ann Arbor and we thought of Michigan, like there were chances you could see a Heisman Trophy at your school. There were chances you could see a national championship at your school. And we saw a Heisman Trophy. We almost saw a national championship twice in the years that we were there. Rose Bowl championships. I mean, that's so exciting and fun. And
going to a hockey game is one of the greatest experiences ever.
This is my favorite thing about Michigan and why I think Michigan and Alabama fans are actually not dissimilar, because the experience is this. The calendar is a 12-month calendar, and it's assumed. It's never like nobody's ever instructed, oh, well, now you're going to go and you're going to watch the baseball team, right?
Right.
No, everyone at Michigan, like Brian Cook taught me this, that everyone at Michigan goes, okay, cool. During football, have you warmed up? Are you up to basketball speed? Okay, cool. We got basketball going. Okay, cool. Now you're going to go to the hockey game. Okay. You don't have to say that. It's just assumed. You're just pulled along. Like you have fluency in like no fewer than four different sports.
You
possibly
can't leave out their baseball team or they will yell at us.
The baseball team's great. And I'll say this, Jay and I were in Bloomington, Indiana, and we are just we're doing shows at a phenomenal club there right above the Bishop. I don't know if you guys have ever been there to Bloomington, but if you get a chance, you go. It's the Comedy Attic. It's a phenomenal club. We're there. We're walking around downtown Bloomington and we see a huge bus with a giant block M in the front of it. We're like, who is in town right now? Well, who's here? We start walking towards it. Who walks out of the hotel that it's parked in front of? But
Coach Hutch with a hot dog.
No, Coach Hutchins, and who is like one of the greatest sports, you know, coaches in Michigan history. We had met her at a football game a while ago. She's like, what are you guys doing here? We're like, what are you guys? Well, we know kind of what you're doing here. And she's like, Big Ten tournament. You guys coming to the games? We're like, yeah. She said, all right, get over here right now. We're like, okay. Pulls us on the bus. The whole team's on the bus.
And then she says, like, the words that, like, comedians who aren't, like, super well-known comedians, like, we have our audience and we're cool with our audience. But, like,
she says the words
you never want to hear.
Tell a joke.
No. Hey, worse. You guys know
hey, do you know who these
are?
Two guys are? And we're
oh,
like,
no.
Thankfully, people said yes. And
because of Grey's Anatomy.
We're like, you guys are the best. You guys are going to do this today. You guys are the best. We believe in you. We believe in everybody on this bus. And there was like one male coach right over there. We believe in everyone on this bus, except for that guy. Get that guy the fuck out of here.
Get him off this bus. Get him. And we start
bailing on this guy. They started cracking up because, of course, you love to give that guy shit. And we get off the bus and we go to every single game.
We walk 2 miles all the way past Assembly Hall.
Like we're walking down a highway to get there. We showed up at every game and this is the coolest thing. And this is what I love so much. So the women's sports is just such a joy to watch, especially on a high level because they have
insane
fun
athletes. You see,
and like they have fun level,
and they have so
and
much
they have fun.
Fun.
So like there, I saw a Michigan player in the field start dancing to a Nebraska player's walk-up music as she got to the plate. And I'm like, I freaking love these guys so much. So
and
much
when we came down to the field during the game, even though
they all came over to the fence and they high-fived us
and started high-fiving us at the fence because they're like, you guys can.
And then the best thing is, so they win the tournament, and they actually weren't expected to win, but they win the tournament.
They beat a good Minnesota team in the finals. They beat like a great Wisconsin team or Ohio State team.
So afterwards, Hutch brings 10 people to our show, and she comes to our show and like return the favor. And I was like, God damn it. This is why you go to Michigan. This is why you like it. This is why we love sports, because we're watching women's college softball and loving every minute of it.
This is, I put this out a lot and it enrages and it enrages and endears me to a lot of people on both sides, but I have always held that Michigan and Tennessee are very similar. And usually what I mean is that we watch football games like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like just it's, glaring, arms
dude,
crossed.
It's Bill Self. If you win, Bill Self said it. I think it was while he was cheating. Bill Self said, if you win, it's a relief. If you lose, it's a catastrophe.
Yeah. But the other thing I mean is that women's sports is like part of the landscape. Like when I was growing up and you were going to the basketball game, you mean the women's basketball game. That's like right. Women's basketball is the default setting. Because when I was in high school was when Pat Summitt and Candace Parker were on their championship run, right? Mm-hmm. And you went through the same thing with like Florida softball.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Florida softball is still the best deal. They got the best uniforms.
Yep.
Period. And it is complete joy with none of the suffering of other sports. If Florida wins, it's like violent joy. If they lose, something gets burned. Like it's just the only thing that unites Florida football fans is violence, right? Like I always felt that was a great thing about Michigan is that, you know, we did a show there. And we did it at the library, which is the most.
It was wonderful.
The greatest
one of the best shows we've
ever
done.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the second greatest.
We did it in the basement of the downtown Ann Arbor Library.
Oh, I love it. That's great. So cool. Yeah, no, it is a joy. And I mean, it reminded us how much we just love sports. I mean, it's like pick a sport and we can get into it. I think it's from doing cheap seats and watching so many sports and so many different sports. I can be like, yeah, I'll watch juggling. I'll watch a beard and mustache competition and start to get into it and be like, I don't like the way
we'll find the athleticism.
Yeah, like there'd be a guy with a check mark, his beard in the shape of a check mark, and of course we would say, and on the, his tax return is a check mark in the single column, because no woman or man would ever put up with that. Would ever put up with that? Those shenanigans.
Yeah, that is.
But we came down there. Remember when we came down to the library basement?
Mm-hmm.
They had as the our warm up was Michigan's college baseball game. Mm. And we were like, oh, we're in the wrong place. And I walked in, they're like, no, this is for you. Come in. We're like, okay, Michigan College Baseball. Here we go. We walk in and like 10 minutes later, we're naming warships.
Yeah.
With a bunch of Michigan war dads.
Yeah. That's beautiful. We did World War II and football trivia in the basement of the Ann Arbor Library. I feel like that was some kind of initiation rite into Michiganhood.
Hey, you've got the tattoos.
You do have the tattoos to show it. Those were,
I mean, that's so amazing.
These were early years of the Charity Bowl prizes. We decided to stop letting him cover himself in Michigan tattoos because it became clear no one was ever going to beat them.
Right.
And so the Ann Arbor show was our reward for the 2019 Bowl. Last year we didn't get to give rewards to anyone, and this year we'll see. But we're starting off with y'all.
If Michigan wins, you have to pick one of your best fans and put a Michigan tattoo on that person.
Let's say Godfrey.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. Let's ruin his journalistic integrity forever by putting a team logo on him.
Face, thank you.
Face, but it Ole Miss, but in the block Michigan, in the block M font.
Oh my God.
Oh, he'll hate it.
Colors in maize and blue.
In maize and blue colors. Oh my God. That'd be hilarious.
Funny.
That's Godfrey, I know you're listening to this 2 weeks late. We've already made these plans.
Mm-hmm. It's happening, bro.
Done.
I mean, y'all have watched, you know, via Cheap Seats, and I imagine because you're just addicts anyway, y'all have probably watched every single event that you could put on television at this point. What haven't you actually gone to? Because, like, this is one of my favorite questions. Okay, if I just gave you carte blanche and I said, where in the world do you want to go for a sporting event that you've heard is insane or super intense or just something that you should see, what would you do? Where would you go?
So we've been to a lot. I mean, we've been to the Indy 500, which was fascinating and awesome. We've been to some pretty big horse races as well. I'd love to go to Wimbledon to see, like, and be at center court. I've been to Wimbledon, but I haven't watched a tennis match there. And it just, even being in there completely empty would be amazing. Part of me would love to go see like a final round of a major tournament, preferably in Europe, to see like a British Open or something would be fantastic and cool. But you know, I mean, prize fight, always fun. Like as kids, we watched Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler, may rest in peace. May Sugar Ray Leonard rest in peace. He's not dead, but I just want him to get just a really good night's sleep.
It's important.
It's important. But like those, I would love to go to a prize fight because I feel like we've been to UFC before, but I just feel like there's a certain something that goes on in those things. I don't know. We just, Jay, is there anything you would want to go to that you feel like haven't seen yet?
We've talked about how we've been to a Rose Bowl. We have been to an NCAA tournament game.
Never been to a Super Bowl. Never been to a Super Bowl. I don't know if I'd want to go.
I don't know if I want to go to a Super Bowl. No. Yeah.
Isn't that more fun to watch with your friends and kind of do it at like a house somewhere?
Who can afford to be at a Super Bowl?
The problem you run into at the title games nowadays, you know, now that there are places, and of course the Rose Bowl will always be exception to this because you can just stare at the mountains. But,
sure,
you know, so many of these seats are corporate. The right. people, the fans who make these games fun don't travel to these big games. Right. Like I have zero desire to go to a Super Bowl because it just sounds like a lot of standing in line.
Yeah.
Like so much standing in line.
So much.
We have been to Super Bowl weekends and done stuff for ESPN and then not gone to the game.
That's what I would do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we've done. So we've been on the field for Media Day. We've been kind of
home run derby. We've been to All-Star game. We were in the field and trying to catch fly balls like from that. I mean, that was insane.
Like you're like,
how much that like?
You can catch a fly ball.
Like, you're like, I can do that. Like, we played.
Okay, it's pretty small. It's coming down. I got a glove. That's all there is to it, right?
Outfield in high school baseball, and then all of a sudden, like Pujols hits one, and it like it hooks. Like it's hooking. It's coming at like 140. Like then you start to understand like exit velocity. Like, oh, no one's ever hit it like this at me before. And it was pretty nuts. But yeah, we've gotten to do some very cool things.
Oh, you know what I'd really love to go is to an English Premier League soccer game. I would love to go, just love to go see like a Chelsea Liverpool game at Stamford Bridge would just be just phenomenal. And you, by the way, Chelsea may play Liverpool in the Champions League, which is fascinating. And so like, that would be something I'd love to, or like an FA Cup semifinal. You know, to me, what I love about something like the FA Cup is like, I would love to see like an FA Cup game of a lower tier team against a higher, like to so, go to okay. a.
So I read something that you wrote recently, Spencer, about how the win for a team that's expected to win will never be as high as the win for a team that has no business winning mm-hmm. that game.
Yeah.
And you almost feel sorry for like Alabama fan bases. And we can get into this when you come to on our.
They'll
on
tell
our
you they get bored.
Yeah. It's like,
I'll tell you themselves.
Look, it's boring. It's boring. But when you're the team that isn't supposed to win that game, when you're the team that has no business being in that game in that moment, and you seize that moment, that, like you said in the article, which I couldn't agree more, that high can fuel you for years. For years.
I mean, it's a, like, the simplest
you,
way to
you can't relate
it.
To this, but those of us who haven't seen a championship in a minute, we understand.
I know. I always feel like when I explain my fandom, I always have to be like, listen, let me tell you about Satan. And let me tell you about death cults. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you how awesome they are and how corrosive they are to the soul.
Let me tell you how Urban Meyer was my replacement father.
Yeah. Oh, you know, like every superhero that's like, if I stop taking this serum, I'll die. Yeah. But until then, I'm an indestructible beast. That's Florida fandom, right? Yeah, it's just be like, this is killing my soul and everything that I am, but I can't quit the violence. That's Florida fandom in a whole. Because you go like, why are all these players? They all come from like Florida. What parts of Florida? Literally like tropical Mad Max, just the worst, the worst portions of this country that we have to offer. That's where all of our people come from. And then you're like, you should go to Michigan, go to Michigan, go to hearty, wholesome Michigan. Go. Hey, if you're going to be an SEC fan, you know, why don't you go to someplace like Alabama? The disappointment really won't last for long.
That's right.
Go get that fandom. Don't get mine. Don't go, heaven forbid, don't go get Ole Miss. Telling somebody to be an Ole Miss fan is like telling somebody to go start off on PCP. Like, I'm thinking about getting into drugs. What should I do? You're like, PCP.
Not the heavy stuff.
Being an Ole Miss fan is like someone saying, hey, your new favorite restaurant is Hardee's.
No.
Nope.
It's only going to destroy you from the inside out.
Kill you, yeah.
I'm trying to imagine like logging on as an Ole Miss fan for the first time in 2021. Like adopting that now.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
Because there are kids who are like, hey, I'm at school. And what's this all about? And you're like,
so I love
a lot of hard things.
Are you guys like this? Because I just love the notion of like, what is the school's relationship to the last time they were great? So like, are there old people in the stands saying like, I remember the Tennessee. I remember when Peyton Manning was here. I remember when T. Martin was here. I remember, you know, like I was in the stands in when this happened. And so I love that sort of like, cause there were, you know, there's like Notre Dame basketball fans who remember Heron Goody and, you know, like people who remember those teams who did X, Y, and Z, even Loyola of Chicago can be like, we now have these teams that made it. And they, so for the next 20 years, they'll talk about the teams that happened in these last couple.
And it's the specificity and the regionality of that is what makes this my favorite sport.
Agreed.
Yeah. There's so many more. I think this is a wonky theory that I have, but there are so much more opportunity for that specificity in football because the games happen outside.
Yeah.
Like I don't actually believe that basketball arenas are all that different. No offense to all the hallowed basketball arenas out there.
Oh, they are.
But
I disagree with you.
I mean, have you
been? You can control for so many more variables there. Like when you're exposed to, you know,
have you been in Assembly Hall in Indiana?
I have not.
Oh, so we got to walk through Assembly Hall. The guy
when we basket on the court,
it's huge. Okay, and it's just bizarre.
It's like two like tall like it really there's nothing on the ends of the court so much like, but it's like these two, it's almost like a parabola that's like going up around this
court. It reminds you of Seattle's football stadium almost.
So in that it's engineered to be super loud. I can dig that.
Super loud.
Engineered to be super loud.
Old 70s red carpet on the wall and you're like, what is this place? And it's so bizarre and it has so much history and the place is intimidating. Like I even felt like we did a comedy show at Notre Dame and then
what, how'd that go? Do they know what it, do they know what that is?
They no
did. Okay,
they were great. They were great because they're smart kids there. And by the way, the campus was, we went around the campus and we're like, I understand why people who go here come back and get married here. I get it.
Yeah.
There is like something so special to this place. And we went and watched a basketball game in the,
Derek. So Derek Mays is a guy who we played basketball, pickup basketball out here with. And he's like, hey, I do a TV show and we will talk during the halftime of the basketball game. When you finish your comedy show, come over to the,
the Hive. I don't know what it's called. Yeah. It's like, it's almost
it's
like
it's one of the old school bubbles, right?
Right. It's like a small, so there's dome and it's tiny
dome. And there's only like one level of seats. There's not an upper deck. It's like everyone's on top of the action. And we were sitting in the press area and cheering and like four people.
And then people came over like, you cannot cheer. You're sitting near press people. You can't cheer.
As a small child at Notre Dame Stadium, when Tennessee had a series with them, I was told several times to sit down as a child by Notre Dame ushers.
No.
Yeah.
Damn right. So I was at, in 1997, my girlfriend at the time, her parents were the biggest Penn State fans on the planet. Like
here's how big Penn State fans they were. They looked the other way at Sandusky.
No. I mean, they didn't know, but they were just, I mean, it was,
they had
to
have an idea.
It was an incident. They did not have an idea.
I don't think they had an idea.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think they had an idea,
but no. So they drove to the game and it was so funny because my girlfriend at the time was like, look, this is a big deal. Like you have to be focused on the game. And I was like, wait, are you telling me to be focused about a Michigan football game? I'm like, just for you saying that, we're going to destroy you. And so we get to the game and this is the game in 97 when Michigan wins the national championship and it's a whiteout. It's at night. I'm sitting four seats away from Franco Harris. And Michigan, it's the greasy year. There was that crazy collision on a kickoff return that ended a guy's career on Michigan, and that was nuts. And then it was the game where Woodson made a couple amazing catches, and Michigan's up 28-0.
I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah. You don't know who Charles Woodson is? They're up 28-0 at halftime. It's silence. Silence. Silence in the bathroom at Penn at Beaver Stadium. I mean, I was like, and every time I like shook my, I stood up and cheered after the first touchdown, and my girlfriend was like, "Don't." And I just shook my fist, and she said, "You're shaking the stands." I'm like, "I'm not shaking the stands." So then we scored, and we went up 20-0, and I just silently said, "Yes."
You're vibrating.
I said yes to myself, and she was like, "Keep it to yourself." And so then it was 28-0, and I'm like, "I'm sorry." I literally am just going to say I'm sorry every time we score because I'm sorry you have to watch this and you didn't think I would take this seriously. Oh, and it's going to be a long ride.
Then you went to the bathroom and that kid was in the
It was quiet in the bathroom.
Did you
like
diss a child? Because this one has stories about this. I have watched this one yell at children.
We could talk about that.
Yeah. No one yelled at the kid, but it was totally quiet. Like 100.
You called that woman a Walmart person.
The shit was an Alabama fan.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
So we're in the bathroom. It's totally quiet. There's like 100 Penn State fans in this men's bathroom. It's like halftime. And there's a little boy in the bathroom, in the toilet, and he just goes, "Daddy." And the whole place, no one's in. And he's like, "I think I fell in the toilet." The place goes nuts. Everyone starts cracking up. I'm like, football doesn't matter that much. This is okay. This is hilarious.
There's a kid in a toilet.
But it's rare that you hear
toilet, which is a metaphor for what's happening to Penn State,
football.
Hey, look, go Blue!
Wait a second. Spencer, the kid that you yelled at, was that a Michigan kid? Was that at the Florida Michigan Bowl game?
This isn't going to air until most of the donations are in. Yes,
okay.
It was.
Okay, please tell the story.
This is Lloyd Carr's last game. Tim Tebow. This is when Michigan, or which bowl game is it?
I love it when don't pretend to be nicer than everybody else.
It's Harbaugh's first game.
I love it when that shell cracks.
Yeah, there's a series. It was actually Dan Mullen's like first bowl game.
A lot of people think that I'm the nice one because I'm the girl, and they don't know that that's actually really not true.
And I didn't realize how irked I was by Florida having.
But in this case, I am the nice one
because there were a series of tragic comical bowls. Against Michigan, where we would do things like end the game with Vernell Brown throwing a double reverse pass when Rex Grossman's sitting right back there in shotgun waiting for a pass, right? Because Ron Zook figured he'd be brilliant. And that's the one thing Ron Zook should have never figured was to be brilliant. And then there's, you know, we lose to Harbaugh. There's a number in Carr's last game. It's I didn't realize how much it irked me.
Which one was the one where you screamed at a child, though? You gator chomped a child. I just remembered this.
It was the peach bowl.
You do this
and,
in a child's face.
In a child's face.
We were like a good 30. Feet apart.
No, you were not.
And this little
you were
kid was talking
him.
To me.
And in his face.
Gator chomped him?
Of a child!
It really wasn't.
Hiling a Jew. Why would you?
Hey, man, kids got to grow up sometime, okay?
I mean, I have had much worse experiences at Florida games. But
were you in your 40s when you did that?
I was.
Okay.
So, and I did, and I pointed to the scoreboard and I sat down. Now, that wasn't the part that I'm like, okay, so I gator chomped a child. And I thought, am I being true to myself and did I harm anybody? I'm like, no. I didn't harm the kid. And two, was I true to myself? And I'm like, I'm wearing Florida gear. Yeah, this is exactly what this child should see out of us, right?
Thank you.
Right. So that wasn't the part that I probably should have taken back. Now, some guy behind me, and I look pretty much like I look now, except more ragged, like my beard's bigger and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this guy behind me goes, oh yeah, hey. And in this real thick Michigan accent that I'm going to butcher, it's like, that's real nice taunting a kid there, Bubba. And I turned around and I swear he looked like the lead singer of My Morning Jacket.
Oh,
so
God.
He looked around. And by the way, I'm with some in-laws and I'm with my wife. I am embarrassing the shit out of them.
Yep.
And I turned around and I looked at it and I said, hey, My Morning Jacket, why don't you come down and talk to me about it? And like thickest accent.
Oh, God.
And he shut the hell up. Like, to be fair, dude, shut the hell up.
He was up and he was like, I'm amazed at the way he's talking.
Nothing gets through to me. I'm like, you think you can hurt me? No. I watched Tennessee play Nebraska in the Nebraska section when I was like 15. Do you think you can hurt me?
No.
Fans in football. Fuck you.
And that was when Nebraska actually was decent. And that's actually
they were decent enough that day.
Well, listen, it's like here, our fandom for Michigan is that we love this. We love our team so much that you never want to watch a game with us. We are the worst people ever to watch the game with because we're like Vinny Testaverde's dad. I can't watch the game. I got to watch updates on my phone.
It's too stressful.
Literally am like, I have wished the worst things in the world on my own team.
Yeah,
like not on his
coin flip goes the other way, and I'm like, well, that's it.
It's over.
It's not our day. It's not our day. Sometimes it's not your day. It's not your day. It's not your day.
You take the tiniest thing and extrapolate it out to the full thing.
And then when you add to that a fumbled punt at the end of a game that should have ended a Michigan State game, and
when you add to that a bad spot in Columbus where you should have won,
I heard it was good. I heard the spot was good. Was it not?
Yeah.
It depends what angle. If you're looking at the wrong angle, then it's good. If you're looking at the correct angle, then it was
good. It's totally good.
Michigan is currently out donating Ohio State by like $35,000. And Ohio State is out donating Nebraska like 5-1. Thanks for football.
And on Scott Frost Day, no less.
Hey,
well, that actually makes sense.
We owe them reverse time.
We do.
Oh yeah, we got to have you on ours. So
Well, one quick question though to end this, and
sure,
thank you so much for your time. I'm going to leave you with this question, which is more of a koan than a question, which is this: if you were in Venice and it was a beautiful spring day in Venice, and you were beholding the ocean and the glory of the city
falling where this is going.
Into the water, and thinking about the passage of time and all things immemorial, and Brady Hoke passed you dressed in an ascot, a beautiful silk shirt, eating a hot dog with no explanation. Would that be the most thrilling moment of your life?
Would you push would you push him in a canal?
Wait, are you saying Venice, Italy or Venice, California?
Venice, Italy.
Italy.
Yeah.
Oh. I would jump up on a bridge, grab a gondolier's pole, and just beat him silly. I would
I would beat every hot dog out of his mouth and say, how
the whole
dare
time
you?
I'd be doing it. I'd be like, this is Venice.
This Martian. This Martian.
Michigan. Let me finish the hot dog.
Arrivederci. We need Ryan's Brady Hoke for this. Ryan does one of those Brady Hoke voices where it sounds nothing like him, but now it's the only thing that sounds correct because it's how Brady Hoke should sound.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's the sound of his soul. All right. I'm going to let you guys slip off. Y'all, thank you so much. This is fun. Let's do it again.
Thank you guys. Let's do it again.
Thank you. Please promote our podcast.
I guess. Yeah. Where can we find you? You famouses.
Oh, you guys can find, go ahead, Jay.
I think your fans would dig our podcast View from the Cheap Seats. It's sports every week. It's our take on sports.
I'm on it. Nicole Auerbach's been on it recently. Don't let that stop you.
Yeah, no, that should be the
Don't let
whole...
either of us deter you.
I'm about
let
to
that be
on
the
it,
reason. Yeah, yeah,
Spencer's about to be on it. You might let that stop you, but
I mean, we look at people who know what they're talking about, so we can take the deep dive into sports. Comedians who are funny and have a deep appreciation for sports, and then specific people in the areas of what is hit, what is like going on right now. It's Adam Rank, then it's the NFL. If it's, you know,
Matt Weiner for talking about the NBA. It's a really fun podcast, and it goes hand in hand with what you guys do. So I think your fans would dig it.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for letting us come
on. Yeah, I love what you guys do. Keep doing it. I love it. I'm a consumer.
I will say one last thing for the full cast audience, which is that much in the same way that most of our audience doesn't, not most of our audience, a big part of our audience doesn't like football avowedly, but they love our show. If you think that comedians are not your thing just in general, comedy's not really my thing in general as a genre, but I love you guys' sports show because, again, it's like funny people talking about something.
Right.
Like I like it because it's not just like real, like stand up in general is not my thing unless I like know the people.
Right.
Matter who is on this show, I tend to enjoy it.
Also celebrate the Sklar Brothers' entire catalog, Cheap Seats and everything, because
they have been entertaining mass since college.
Yes. And also this, both of you genuinely love the World's Strongest Man competition. You don't love it. Dude, you might mock it, but you're laughing with it.
We are all one hernia away from being Magnus for Magnuson. I'll just say that.
Throw the keg over the wall.